My name is Troy Nelson, and here we are, another installment of Live on KEXP at Home. And I am very excited because we've been listening to and playing this band for a few years now, because we're big fans of Churches. So thank you so much, Churches, for being with us.
Hello.
Yes, and you recorded a very exclusive live performance for the KEXP community. What can you say about this performance? Where did you record this at?
Well, we were still on tour. We were touring at the end of last year, November, December, we were out. And we were trying to find a way to do this KEXP session for you guys. So we did it at Soundcheck at the Palladium in Los Angeles. We did two nights there. And on the second day, we went in early and recorded the five songs that you have.
Very cool. And I was lucky enough to see it. And I want the rest of the world to see it. So here it is, an exclusive live performance from Churches on Live at KEXP at Home.
I'm afraid to die. I'm no good at goodbyes. I can't apologize. And if I don't stop now, will it follow me down? I guess I have to try. It's the arc and by. Cause they sunk some ships with selfish lips, and it all came back to me. I was terrified. I never told them why. In the songs I wrote about hearts I broke would never come for free. I cheated and I lied, but I meant to when I cried. So what do you say when you lose your way? The past is in the past. It isn't meant to last. And if I can't let go, will you carry me home? Can we celebrate the end? I'm asking for a friend. waste a month, waste a year, waste the time, you could have been here. Count the tack, count the tears, count the truth and all of my fears. I didn't want to be Santa Claus, passing place for the soul. You were never predictable, and now I need to let it go. Found the song, played it back, heard your voice under the feedback. Found a tape that was blank, saw your face fading into black. I know love is delusional, and I hate when I'm wrong. Yours is never conditional, and now I need to get it gone. No one ever warns you, you'll die in California. Falling in a dream, you let go. No one ever seems to say so. No one ever tells ya there's freedom in failure. Dying in a dream feels like home. No one ever seems to say so. Close my eyes, close my heart, close the book you never meant to start. Say your name in the dark, no one said it would be this hard. I didn't go to the funeral, heard you cry on the phone. Your voice is so beautiful, and now I need to let it go. No. At the end, and God bless this mess that we made for ourselves. Pull me into the screen at the end.
Yeah.
I was steal your soul. And if it's us, we'll make you whole. If I disappear, they'll say I killed myself.
There it is, an exclusive live performance for Live on KEXP at Home with Churches. Thank you all so much for taking the time to do that. We appreciate it deeply.
No, thank That's you, right. guys. You've always been so good to us. So when we got the opportunity, we were like, how can we do this while still being in the bubble on tour? And that was the way. That was the way that we managed.
Love it. And I just had a few questions, some for each of you and some for the whole band, but Lauren in particular, for this question right here. I'm a little bit older. I grew up in the 90s, you know, when Nirvana and grunge ruled the world. But you and I have a deep appreciation for outstanding vocalists. And let's talk about another monumental 90s album and the voice of Alanis Morissette and what that means to you.
Ah, I was like, if you Google me, I guess that must come up now. But yeah, I'm a huge Alanis fan, and Martin and myself were lucky enough to see her last year when she did the shows with Garbage and Cat Power.
It was amazing.
It was really something. And I feel like at the time, people weren't ever talking about how amazing her vocal was. I feel like a lot of the media coverage surrounding that was quite gendered, shall we say. But yeah, I remember my dad, I think, had Jagged Little Pill, and he bought it for Ironic, I'm pretty sure, and then was just like, the rest of this album is not for me, I don't think. And then I ended up getting it, and I just think that the way that she uses her voice and herself and her body as her instrument and what she was writing about was just such pioneering stuff, and to see it to see somebody be so joyful about their career at this moment in time, like, it didn't feel like she's doing an anniversary tour because she's just trying to make money and this is all very cynical. It did really feel like she was re-experiencing that record with all the people, and there was lots of sobbing by me and by other people at that show. So Alanis forever, in my opinion.
She's phenomenal. And speaking of phenomenal singers, I heard you say one time that some singers focus too much on accuracy and don't have the emotion, and some singers focus too much on the emotion but not enough accuracy. Who would you say fits kind of that perfect balance of both?
Oh, man. I mean, easy for me to say, because I don't know which category I fall into necessarily, but I don't know. Well, Alanis is an amazing example of someone who is incredibly accurate when she sings live, but it's so unique, it's so distinctive, and it's so emotional. And somebody like Fiona Apple, or I've just been going on big YouTube polls about Aretha Franklin, and I'm like, her vocal, always incredible, always incredibly accurate, but you know immediately who it is. You know that it's what it's saying, what she's saying is, yeah, she's a perfect marriage of both, I would say. But then nobody else can ever be Aretha Franklin, because she's the one. So
some more current artists I've heard you talk about, Japanese Breakfast, you're a fan of. Yes. Also Bartice Strange.
Yes, and you just had him. You had him on KXP not so long. I watched it on the YouTube, like the creepy fan that I am. But his voice is incredible, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I thought you were going to say you watched it on the YouTubes, which I've said before.
I watched it on the YouTubes with my cats, which is true. It's true. I was there.
this question's for Martin. Martin, can you tell me a little bit more about your building of guitar pedals? Is this like a thing? Is this something you do all the time?
Yeah. I actually, right now, I've started selling guitar pedals because I have so many that I no longer have any space to work or do it. I mean, I guess, are you using this video? If you're not, then I'll describe that I'm currently completely surrounded by guitar pedals. And I use them because I really love to work with them. And I really, during COVID, became very interested in, you know, first you look at it, then you play with it, and then if you have an inquisitive mind, the next thing you do is open it up and see what's going on inside. And I started doing that and began building like these little very simple distortion circuits. And then I worked my way all the way up to, like, I ended up building an 1176 compressor. So I went from very small to like pretty complicated. But to me, it was, if you can solder, it's like adult Lego. Not like adult Lego, you know, like, I mean, like Lego for grown folks. Not like, you know, sexy Lego. I became really interested in it, and then most of those sounds led to making records with the sounds that I'd been building, which made me feel a lot more connected to what I was doing, and that was fun.
Have you thought about like publicly selling them or starting your own like pedal company?
No, not me. No, like not on my own. I mean, there's plenty to talk about in the coming. I guess we can't say anything right now, but I personally will not be selling pedals that I made from my bedroom or like from my studio.
Out the back of your car or something.
Just because the boutique pedal scene is phenomenal, and if people's life's work, like if they, and I would rather support, you know, I like to do it for fun, but I would rather support these like small businesses and independent operations than who are doing stuff that nobody else has done before than try and muscle in and use our name to, like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But I'm not saying the idea of collaborating with a pedal company that we very, very much love, that's on the table. That would be very cool.
That would be very cool.
All right, we're putting it out there in the universe. Cool. All right, universe. So, who is it in the band that, or is it all of you? Somebody loves horror movie soundtracks. Is that you, Lauren?
Probably everyone.
I think everybody, yeah. I think I'm probably the least learned on the soundtrack aspect. I would say that Ian and Martin are more well-versed in that. But it was really fun to do a record that, not that it's a concept record necessarily, but it, you could do a lot of research to kind of get into that world. And we knew we wanted to tell stories that aren't horror stories necessarily, but put them through that lens of storytelling. And I think that's definitely something the guys lent into in referencing things on the sonics of it as well.
Well, it's interesting too, because I mean, the cover for Screen Violence looks like a horror movie cover. Who took that beautiful photo? It's such a great photo.
It's an artist called Scott Kiernan. And we had seen, I think Ian found out about him first because he'd done a collaboration with Moog. He'd done some kind of multimedia art video making for them. And when we were talking about that kind of VHS-y era of horror, he was somebody that came to mind, and he took that, I think he took a photo of the video on the monitor and then made it. And he did all the rest of the artwork in the videos, and all the imagery on the record was him. And I feel like that cover works because it's quite voyeuristic, and I think that's something we were talking about a lot in the lyrics. And we didn't want it to be so terrifying that people who hate horror can't get invested in the record, but I think, yeah, it was really great that it felt that all the visuals around the album really helped tell the story of the record in a way that they hadn't necessarily on some of our previous output, if I may say.
Yeah.
Scott
did all the videos as well, so it was great to have sort of one person behind the whole rollout of the visual side of the project. And also, he's a massive horror sort of cult movie buff. So we were talking the same language from the get-go.
Well, speaking of, what was it like to trade songs with the legendary John Carpenter? How did that come about, and what was that like?
We were kind of on a roll of, like, asking our heroes to do things. So we just, like, we came up with the idea of doing rather than traditional remixes, trying to get composers to reimagine songs that we'd done. And the first conversation was, you know, people like John Carpenter. And then we never thought that you could get John Carpenter. But it turns out, like, if you ask him and you're in with the chance. And he said yes. And that was really cool. And it was actually him that offered us, he said, if you can pay me or we can remix swap. And I mean, that was like, I would have paid him to do the remix swap. like I would have actually paid to remix the song. But we were lucky enough that, it was just like a mutual respect thing. No money changed hands. And we had to go at each other's song. And we kind of set out to, like, de-synth his music because I wasn't trying to go up against John Carpenter, like, the god of, like analog. That's, he invented the sound that we are trying to call back to. So it would be rude to, like, to have tried to, like, emulate what he was already doing. So we took it to, like, a weird kind of almost post-rock place, like, pianos and like weird beats, and you know, it was really fun. Really fun.
Awesome. That's amazing. I'm gonna ask John Carpenter if he'll remix one of my songs. I mean,
honestly,
it's that easy, I guess.
Yeah, in our experience, all you gotta do is ask.
Yeah, ask Robert Smith as well.
I know. Well, the next time. Well, the thing is, why not keep going? It's like Ariana Grande is on the next song. Why not? I mean, you might as well ask.
What is in the works for the rest of this year? We're kind of still, you know, we're in the beginnings of 2022. What does the rest of the year sort of look like for Churches? I mean, playing shows, any new music? What is it looking like right now?
I mean, I guess I was looking at the band schedule before I got on this call, and I was like, well, hopefully we're going to play a bunch of shows. Hopefully. We planned to go do that, but I guess if we've learned anything the last couple of years, it's like you can't make plans for anything. But yeah, we're hoping to try and get to as many places as we can safely and logistically. Like, it's just really hard putting tours together right now. So yes, but that's hopefully what we'll be busy doing if the fates allow it.
Right, if it all works out. Well, fingers crossed. But thank you for all the music you have given us so far. And thank you for that exclusive performance for the KEXP world. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you in the near future. So thank you so much for that performance for our Live on KEXP at Home.